My daughter's living in Australia, in Sydney, and my son's leaving in March to go and live there, first time since he was three. And he's just going to, he doesn't know where he's going to live, but he's going to Australia. He wants to experience that. So, yeah, my wife and I, we're not quite going to Australia, but we're off to Indonesia. Gonna build a home and relocate to Indonesia May or June this year. It's the next part of the adventure with the children going. If my son had stayed, we would have stayed. We're happy. We've been happy here and we've enjoyed it and we've found it a privilege to live here and a real honour. But with both of them being over there, it just doesn't make sense. We haven't, it's a longer trip for us to go and visit. So, yeah, we came up with the idea. We went travelling and had a look around and we like it in Indonesia. It'll be a 6-hour flight rather than a 24-hour flight. So, yeah, it's the next adventure we're going on.
Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, back here again in the tropical warmth of Sydney. But after my recent visit to the north of England, where it seems, the sun goes to die, where are my two apocalyptic podcasters? First up, a man whose stats last year were tabulated on his spreadsheet entitled Doomsday. Why? It's only Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also a bloke whose tactical analysis can only be described as catastrophic. Yes, he's here until the end of the world. Introducing Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Now, I've been criticised last week, boys, of being very negative. I've had lots of letters. Mm. We've had emails. We've had texts saying that I really need to sort of up my game. So I've started as low as possible tonight. But we're just going to have positivity from me this evening. You're not going to bring me down, Dennis. Last week, you put me on the edge and you pushed me off. But tonight, I'm having none of it.
The connection here is the sun's on an 11-year cycle. Oh. And you said, I'm here to the end of the world. And actually, we're in this zone now where it's firing off solar flares, which could affect the satellites, put them off course, and then actually accelerate the Kessler syndrome. And then they all break up and hit each other. Oh. And you do know that humans would die off in about 9 days. So because you start eating each other then. So it could come sooner rather than later. So I just thought I'd put that out there. Is that a good start?
This is a complete different Dennis to the one I witnessed in the flesh.
That's what I was about to ask you because, of course, Dennis got married in Sydney on the 2nd of January, but the wedding celebrations have gone on now longer, I think, than Prince Charles and Lady Di, because you were down there, Sam, last weekend. Looked like another beautiful wedding celebration for Dennis.
It was, and you know, he comes across all curmudgeon-y on this podcast, but on that 48 hours that I saw him, he was warm, he was welcoming. Clearly, Mrs. Waywell's having a positive effect on him, despite the fact that everywhere you looked in Somerset, it was just the flood, basically.
Oh, dear. You seem to be wearing a velvet suit, Dennis. I couldn't work out whether I liked it or you look like a paedophile. I'm not sure what it was, bit of both.
Well, I mean, it was actually in a little village where Gary Glitter grew up. I didn't mention it in his speech. I thought it wouldn't go down very well, so I left it out. But he did feature on the playlist at about 12 o'clock. So,
okay, well, Wire began their 2026 season with a third round Challenge Cup 34-6. Victory over Championship side Sheffield Eagles. Tommy Rhodes, still 76 days short of his 17th birthday, made history as Warrington's youngest ever try scorer. We'll come on to Warrington's next opponents in the news section, but first, It was on to the real deal. Yes, round one of Super League, Wire versus Saints. The team was the sprightly Kai Taylor-Ray at fullback. On the wing, we had two Joshes in Thulis and Smith. In the centres were King and Hapawati. George Williams was joined in the halves by Mark Sneed. Luke Yates, Danny Walker and Liam Byrne made up the front row. James Harrison moved into the second row alongside Sam Stone. And Ben Curry continued at lock. Interchange bench was Toa Fowa-Sipley, Jordy Crowther, Joe Philbin and Kalepi Tanganawa. So, fasten your seatbelts, everyone. At a sold-out Halliwell Jones, it's time for Liftoff.
This is Apollo Control at 102 hours into the flight of Apollo 11.
If you're feeling like a kid at Christmas, you've every reason to. What a year we're looking forward to. What a night we're looking forward to.
Ian Kranz requested that everyone sit down, get prepared for events that are coming.
Williams chiming in. Now it's further left again to Tony King, who reaches and will claim the try.
Minutes now until ignition for power descent.
As Walker quickly out of dummy half has support as well from the Lightning Taylor Ray, who puts the foot down. And look at this! Look at that! Wow! It's a thunderous noise, but it was a flash of lightning on the field. Kai Taylor Ray.
Capcom, we're go for power descent.
We're off to a good start.
Play it. Here he comes again, and he's made the break again. Taylor Ray with a pass. Out it goes. Little search for the corner, and it is going to be another sensational try. Hapawati with the finish.
Okay, I'll flag the colors. I'm going around the horn.
Well, speak. Oh, brilliant dummy. Sold his man, head down for the line. Yes, he's got there. Surely no denying this one. Third time of asking. St. Helens get their points.
Falcon, no. GNC, no. Econ, no. Surgeon, no.
In the air from Hastings. Chases on. Sailor! Oh! Oh! Where did he come from?
75 feet, down a half.
Level 2
alarm.
60
seconds. We're
going
that flag. We're going that alarm.
40
feet, down 2 and a half.
Williams, there's some width here provided by that super flying winger, Josh Gillis.
Okay, we're going. We've had shutdown.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Yeah, it's given away, and Thulis gratefully receives it. And Williams, looking for the outside, decides he's not on the pace for that, but he might know a man who does. Hapawati rushes away one, steps away from another, and on this night of nights, a fabulous scores. Put that on the list. There is going to be a review here.
Time off. Official review.
That's tackle without the ball. I've viewed the angles I need. I've made my decision.
Oh, stop it.
Control, go. Final, go. Guide, go. Control, go. Falcon, go. Jinsey, go. Econ, go. Surgeon, go.
Ball over the top. Lovely pass. Lovely pass. And felt grateful recipient on the end of that.
Go. Guide, go. Roll, go. Go, 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 go.
Final score, Waddington 24, St Helens, you say potato, I say potato, 14. There were tries for King, Taylor
what
Ray.
What position was he playing?
There were tries for King, Taylor-Ray, Hapawati and Thulis. Conversion, Snead kicked 3 from 4. There was a penalty also from Snead. The referee was Liam Piss-Poor-Moore. It was a sellout, 15,064, Wyeth's biggest crowd for over 50 years. Samuel, you were there.
Yes. Oh, looking forward to this. Come on. It looked exciting.
It was. And before we look at the actual game itself and say what was good or bad, if I just give an emotional response, really, rather than an analytical
one. Do we need
one.
To get the hour tune music out for this, or is it going to be upbeat?
Yes, we do. No, I think, no, it's upbeat because I think I've switched off from rugby league completely after the second test against Australia. So I went feeling fresh, a sense of anticipation.
Are you ever fresh these days?
Well, as fresh as I can get. Everything's relative. And a big crowd, a big atmosphere, a big expectation. And for once, we weren't let down. Because so often you go to a big game and within a minute, the opposition scored and it all falls flat. But just the opposite. It was a buzz. There was a buzz about the place when we got there. Pre-match music, the whole lot. And then we kicked off.
Is this the match or Valentine's evening? I got a bit confused halfway through it.
Well, it might as well be Valentine's because they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And Warrington Wolves, for my birthday, gave me my birthday pint and pie, which I really enjoyed before kickoff.
Ah. And you're still here.
Ah. Very good. Right. Okay. Well, I've written down sort of a few bullet points here, boys, that I thought we could discuss. I've not done a timeline this year. Now that's going to get Sam a little bit anxious. But, well, you ticked off the first one. Atmosphere, match day experience. You seem to start in Warrington Market, though, Sam. Was it a Guinness you started with? Looked quite heavy, that opening shot to the
round. I opened strong. I opened with some food, basically, in a pint.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Kai Taylor-Ray. Now, Dennis, what do we make? Did you get off the sofa as he broke through for that first try? Did you get your ass off the sofa, or were you?
I leaned up. I did lean a little bit.
You never lean up.
I sort of tensed me sort of stomach muscles, and it brought my shoulders forward. I did notice in them highlights from Sheffield, he was on the tail of Tanganoa. So I thought, oh, he's going to be pretty good at this, reading the play, when someone gets through there. And that was evident in this, wasn't it? In fact, he made his own sort of chance in this game. I think he sort of like broke the line twice. He's going to be a good player, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, you're going on about like his sort of mistakes and things like that, because you've given him a hard time, didn't you, Rob, on the first podcast? You were saying like, can't fucking catch this, that and the other. But, Dufty didn't do that well, but he did make up for it with some offensive play. And I see the same thing. And he also put a cracking pass out at one point as well, which was another thing that I'd not seen him do yet. So it was all encouraging for me. Really good.
Very good. Very good. Sam, do you want to add a bit of balance to that?
I think we will come on to places where we think he's going to be able to improve, or things that maybe don't look as strong a little later. But getting off your seat, yes, I think we shouldn't walk.
No, I leaned forward a bit.
You can't get off your seat. You need help to get off your seat.
I don't think we should walk past the first try, which was an excellent finish from Toby King, and once a little bastard on this podcast some money. Sorry, I swore, shouldn't have. The atmosphere, as I've said, was already buzzing, and it was really electric as he went through. He scythed through the St Helens defence and just flew to the line, really.
If Toby King was electric, how would that be generated? Are we talking steam? Ooh. Are we talking water mill? I don't really see him as, nuclear. I don't know where you get.
No. I think a good old water mill, maybe in the background of the Hay Wayne, something like that.
Jesus. Oh, I've got an internet unstable.
Oh, well, you're very stable, Toby King. You know what that is? It's because you're far too positive, Dennis. That's what's causing that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Are you going to mention about Taylor Ray then, Rob? I mean, like, you know, you slagged him off the first week.
My uncle George, who was the wicketkeeper for England and Lancashire, he still holds the record for most catches ever caught at Lancashire. He once said, "Show me a boy who can't catch at 19. And I'll show you a man who can't catch at 29.
Right. Okay.
Oh, that famous old saying.
Yeah, that classic saying. I think it's on the Duckworth Roundabout. You know that one? Where's that? You know the Duckworth Roundabout on the far side of town that they put in? I think he says it underneath in little letters. Oh, brilliant. I mean, I said last week, didn't I? I said he'll score a worldie, and he did. He set up another worldie. He threw out a lovely pass for Thulis to score. But then, where was he for St. Helens' try? Where did he go? He's lost his confidence under the high ball. And to be fair, we might play Burgess now and just have a quick discussion on what Burgess says.
Yeah, I thought Kai had a bit of an indifferent night because he had some amazing things on the ball, which we've all seen. But, you know, there's parts of his game that he's still young and raw with. You know, he made errors tonight. He's going to make errors all year long. Right? And I just think we all have to be a bit patient with that. We're happy to see him develop. You know, he's not going to be the finished article right yet. But I think what he does bring is really exciting for us. You know, he's a great player to watch, a great player to coach. You know, but like I said, I think, you know, he'll have his good days, he'll have his tough days. I think if we can all be patient with him, I think that's important.
I mean, I think he kind of sums it up. He's not saying he's a world beater, Sam. He's sort of saying that we need to sort of look at his frailties and let him run with those and he'll improve. So I was quite pleased with Burgess's summary. He didn't put his head in the sand. He openly admitted that he had a sort of yin and yang game. It was a bit up and down.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you've decided to put that in there. It makes sense while we're talking about him. He did deserve his man of the match. He created two
Absolutely.
Or three
yeah.
outstanding moments. But before he'd made a couple of errors in that second half, we'd notice that he'd let the ball bounced a couple of times and was a little hesitant.
There was an occasion with Josh Smith as well, wasn't there, where the one bounced between them. And Sky pushed towards it should have been Smith's ball. I'm not sure about that.
Might have been. And on the try that St. Helens scored, where no one from Warrington was near it, if you look at Kai Taylor-Ray's starting position, he was almost on the touchline level with the play of the ball. And Josh Thewlis in this occasion was the other side of the post. The gap between them was huge. Now, clearly, I'm no expert rugby league coach, but there's a lack of communication there. It should really be the fullback. That's what you want to see him develop.
Yeah, he's not calling for it. He's not on both occasions, he's not calling for that ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the final one was he was given a penalty for tackling the air, and it was overturned by the video referee, captain's challenge. I would suggest that Paul Wellens and Chris Radlinski would clear everybody out when they're taking the ball. I agree with what Dennis said. That was a bit Dufty-like. Dufty would have potentially spilt that. But he's only 19. It was quite a measured response from Burgess, which was promising to hear him say, "Let's have a bit of patience," basically.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, did you listen to the rest of the interview that Burgess did? He got really prickly when someone asked him about something that he did last year, and he went, "Well, what do you think?" Yeah. And then he sort of got really arsey with a reporter. Oh, it's pathetic.
Just on the edge looks all the stupid. Time, isn't he? He's just on the edge all
looks
the time.
Stupid.
Oh, dear. Yeah. The new recruits. Let's have a chat about the new recruits. So there was a fair few of them out there. I'll start with Sipley, who came off the bench. I was really impressed with Sipley. I thought Philbin on a couple of occasions, certainly on one occasion, really ran off the back of Sipley. Philbin went about 30 metres downfield, but if you watch it back, it comes from a very quick play of the ball by Sipley, which has got them all on the back foot, and then Philbin comes onto it. So I thought he looked promising, Sam. I thought he was he gave us something.
Yeah.
Hopewati, I was really surprised by. I thought he really shone. Seems to know what he's doing. Very unlucky for that second try to be overturned. Yes. Yeah. In previous seasons, I don't think the referee would have gone to the big screen. I think he would have just awarded the try, right?
Given him.
Probably. Yeah. Josh Smith on the wing. I think he looks more of a winger than he looks a centre somehow. I don't know if he's just quite big enough for the centre position, but
he looks strong, and he actually possibly the best piece of play he did was prior to us scoring, yeah. where he took a catch and got out of
he
wasn't trapped in goal. Last year you could have easily seen us spilling that and going behind early.
Yeah. Yeah. Does I did think though on that occasion when he got out, Makinson's not letting him out. Are they a little bit are they a little bit weak in certain areas now? They've got a lot of youth in there. And as much as we're talking Warrington up and they had a fantastic game, did Saints not play to their best of their abilities? I thought they looked a bit at times not the best.
I felt they looked, dare I say, one dimensional. Because they were making meters against us. But as soon as they got 20 metres from our line, they didn't look creative. I thought our defence held well and was disciplined by and large. We'll come on to that shortly. But they didn't seem to be cutting us open like you would have seen.
No, previous years.
Can you describe what one-dimensional is in another word?
A pedestrian, predictable, slow.
Flaccid.
Their words, though. What is what? In two dimensions, it's something written on a piece of paper. Three dimensions, we're all three dimensions.
Oh, I see.
What's one dimension?
They were just a dot. They were a speck.
Okay. If anybody knows listening, if they could write in at whatbevin@gmail.com.
Stop handing out that email that's wrong. It doesn't go anywhere.
It's not.
That
it
email
does.
Is one-dimensional because it doesn't go anywhere. It's like a black hole. Nothing comes out.
I've got an email. I'll read it out in tackle bag. Can I just say that I thought that Hopewati and Smith are like a big pair of airy bookends. That it just sort of like evened up and we look really, they're just solid players. Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like
they've got a bit of really handy for all those books that Danny Walker's been reading in the library on the promo.
Yeah.
Excellent. Kelepi Tanganawa, he's a bit of a monster. Dennis went for him in the first try scorer, which was, he didn't come on, did he? He didn't start the game. So I was chuckling away to myself when he put his money there. Although, as you mentioned, of course, Toby King did go over. He was at 12-1. I had a fiver on him. So a nice another little pickup for me there. Yeah, it's very good, isn't it? Looking at the stats, we were beaten on all the stats, really. I mean, this is what surprised me. I didn't think that they were that dominant, but possession was 53% to 47% Saints way. The one we did beat them on was completion rate. Apparently, we were 96%, they were 93%. Carries, they did 179 to our 155. Post contact meters, we were 424, they were 510. There was a fair few there. They did make more errors than us. We made 7, they made 10. We did kick further. Kicks in, kick from hand meters, they did 463, we did 595. The top carries, well, Taylor Ray led the way with 15. Toby King's after a new contract. He ran the ball 14 times, made 101 metres. And Curry was our best forward. He made 84 metres. Just on his heels was Yates on 79. Philbin also on 79. Burndown on 54. Harrison, 41. Tanganawa, 40. I thought, looking at those metres from Harrison, they don't seem that prolific, Sam. But I thought Harrison looked far better in the second row than the front row. I actually thought he had a good game. When Clemmer sort of kicked off at one point and Harrison was in his face? I'm not sure Harrison's going to win that battle, but nevertheless, he was there niggling away. I thought he played really well in the second row.
Yeah, so I'm interested to hear your take on the pack as a whole, because I think we to use your phrase, Rob, we are still short, perhaps, of a big bopper, unless Sipley or Tanganoa are going to be that. But the pack as a whole and the rotation, I felt, went very well. There didn't seem a drop-off like there has been in the last couple of years when we brought people off the bench. In fact, I felt, if anything, bringing Sipley and Tanganoa on actually lifted us again. And how did it come across watching it on TV?
Yeah, the only one I will say, and I've written it down again here, what to do with Yates. He took a ball up very early on, and I thought it was Danny Walker. I don't really know what else to say about Yates. He's incredibly brave. He's clearly a great clubman to have around. He ticks so many boxes, but he doesn't tick a box on size. And at some point, he's going to get steamrolled over. We just don't make any momentum off the back of a Yates drive, do we? So, and then I was watching Wakefield, and Wakefield had a big prop in the front row, and then I watched Toulouse, and they had a big prop in the front. I thought, why haven't we picked up a big prop? Why haven't we somehow managed not to find one of these Polynesians and pop him in the front row? So, look, we'll wait and see, won't we? But to me, the pack weakness in a very critical way, because he is a wonderful player, is Yates. I would like to see him at loose forward, but then you've lost Curry then. So it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, different type of player though, haven't you? You've got, I suppose, the benefit that I see in Yates is he can play long minutes at a good standard. He potentially allows you to rotate around it with the others.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. The Walker-Clark debate, you know, they got Clark a few years ago, and at the time we probably thought it was even Stevens, but I think now that the dominance that Walker has over Clark is there to be seen. The early, I think it was the first try that Kai Taylor-Ray scores.
Yes.
If you watch it back, Walker kind of gets away, but then Ray comes into the play and Clark's just looking at his feet. Clark could have probably got him in the first couple of strides 6 or 7 years ago, but the pace has gone from Clark. He knows he's a great hooker, but we have got by far the better hooker now in Walker than they have in Clark. He really is at the end of his longevity, Clark. Do you agree, Dennis?
He completely dominated everything that we did. He just kept the momentum going. And I don't think St. Helens had a chance to get a sniff in. I think I text you saying he's just killing the ruck in terms of like running it forward. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. I think that's what won us the first half. Can I just say, is it worth mentioning that Sam was texting us at this time saying like he was on a hype train or something? Are we mentioning
choo-choo?
That?
I can see on WhatsApp, I can see your drinking patterns, you two. Because you start up, the pair of you start, about half an hour before kickoff, it's text, 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 text.
Yeah.
First half, it's text. And then second half, I turn to Mrs. London and go, they've both gone to sleep. They've both gone. And it completely plateaus out. It's like,
it is a bit like that, actually, yeah.
And then normally there's about a 25-minute break of no text, and then you both wake up, send one more text before you both collapse. That seems to be the...
Yeah, that's basically a Friday, Saturday night evening.
Have you got a video? Did you install some cameras when you were over it?
Oh, dear.
Attention, Warrington fans. This is Hal. It has come to my attention that there may be one or two pissheads listening to this podcast. And I am worried for your long-term health. Sure, I too am partial to a glass of WD-40. But if alcohol is controlling you more than you are controlling it, assistance is available in the United Kingdom. Drinkline can be reached on 0300-123-1110. That's 0300-123-1110. Surely you want to still be alive when Wire win Super League? And let's face it. That's fucking years away. Seeking help is not a weakness. Please. Take corrective action before it's too late.
Talk to me. Come on, Dennis, you can start this one off. The six again. The six. Now, we've had letters on this week, I think. We've had a few letters from patrons and people online. The six again. You'll have to start, Sam, because Dennis has frozen. Oh, no, he's back.
It's like this, isn't it? Don't know if you can see. Oh, I'm back. Yeah, I keep freezing. The internet's bad. What did you ask me again? Oh, yeah, six again. I think I saw this coming up. And like every year, it's always something. Remember, like when it was Ed Eye's stuff and everybody was getting sent off? Dennis, it's much the same again. They're trying to just
for one second. Do apologise. Where does he keep going to, Sam? He's getting up every 2 seconds. Has he got a bad bladder or something? What's wrong with him?
It's the dog barking.
I've opened the back door for the dog and then had to close it again.
I thought that was a euphemism then for a second. Right, okay,
fair enough. That's terrible. six again. So I think what we're seeing is just this, like, you know, we're trying to sort of speed up the ruck. I tell you one thing about it, though. I'm starting to think that it's going to affect more of these teams that have concentrated on the wrestle on the floor, because I think that's why we're seeing some of the big teams struggling. I mean, Wigan weren't that convincing. They did enough to win. But like those types of teams are really going to struggle with this six again room if they're consistent. But are we not seeing that sort of curve where it starts off really?
Every year we have a narrative, don't we? And by week four, that narrative has completely disappeared. So I'm looking forward to that. I would say by Easter, we'll have completely forgotten about the six again. It'll be
So as Rob says, we have had a listener or maybe two listeners write in and make a request for a stat on six again. Well, I couldn't be asked going back through the full 80 minutes and counting it, but...
So we've had a request and Sam can't be asked.
We came under a lot of pressure at the beginning of the second half, and I went back and watched that period again, and I think it also goes towards those stats you read out, Rob, where you said almost every metric, they were slightly ahead of us.
Yeah.
From the 40th minute, well, from the start of the second half through to 62 minutes.
Here he goes.
Yeah.
Warrington played the ball 23 times. St. Helens played the ball 57 times in that period.
He couldn't be asked to count six agains, but he's counted 57 play the balls. Exactly. Go on, carry on.
Of which 38 of those play the balls were in our half. We conceded 4 6 agains in that period and 3 penalties. So we were really dominated in that 22 minutes.
How many points did we concede in that 22 minutes?
Two tries. So that was 62 minutes.
Did you see?
No, 62 minutes.
Yes. Right. So 12 points.
62 minutes and 14 seconds was when they scored their second try.
Oh, I like the seconds bit, Sam. I like that bit. It's very good. We did lose the second half. Have I mentioned that? Sorry, I just thought.
Oh, did we?
Not to put a downer on the
negative,
hype train,
Dennis.
I know.
Don't
we're just
negative.
Sort of saying, you know, but don't get, don't believe the hype. Sorry.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype, motherfuckers.
Oh, Sam, by the way, you know this six again thing. I remember a couple of seasons ago, you did write to the referees union, didn't you? And you were waiting for a reply. Are you still waiting for that reply? Or is it worthwhile a reminder now with this six again question?
It might be worthwhile a reminder because the gentleman that I wrote to is no longer there.
Oh.
Fair enough. Well, staying on the officials, video ref reviewing awarded tries. I did think we could possibly look at how long a game is going to be extended this year. I spoke to Daniel, who's coming up with a wonderful soundbite a little bit later, and he missed his train in the Sheffield game because he had to leave early because it got to 75 minutes when he's normally off or something, and it was nowhere near the end. So the games are lasting longer because of this video ref reviewing palaver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Okay.
Do we think any of the tries that were awarded, they would have gone... Would he have gone to the big screen for the Hopewadi try? Would he have gone... I think there might have been a hand in that ball back there.
I think probably.
You think he would have gone? Okay.
Right. And I think he probably would have gone, or possibly... would have gone for Toby King's first try to see if he'd grounded the ball.
Right. So nothing's changed, really.
Well, I got the feeling that it was like quicker because I think most of the time they would be blowing up for a video ref decision, and then it's all this going with the referee's decision anyway because they can't overrule it, blah blah blah. Now we don't have that. I think it's just a case of giving them the benefit of the doubt again, and I think it's working. I really like it from what I've seen.
Are you happy with the 11 blurred camera angles we now have?
That's another thing, isn't it?
Could you show me from blurred camera angle two, please?
Jesus. He did go through about six.
Have they just not cleaned the lenses? Is that the trouble?
It's not that he said, oh, I'll go back to camera two, the one that's about 150 metres away. And, like, you know, like the pixelation's like one pixel per player. Oh, fuck's sake.
Oh dear. Well, I mean, there are all the points I've gone through there. One of the ones I haven't mentioned, of course, is the historical Saints statistics, Sam. I mean, do you want to give us a little bit of background on where we stand now with Saints?
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's statistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Well, yes. Funny you should ask that, because it's like I prepared something. Didn't prepare much. Don't get too excited. Yeah. Eight in a row against Saints. Which,
really?
When you, yes, which it include that includes Challenge Cup as well.
Yeah.
But when you consider the prior to us winning eight in a row, we lost seven in a row, and throughout Super League, we've only won 21 out of 81 games since 1996.
Right, okay.
So we've really been on the back of it against Intelligence. But just at the moment, we don't seem to be able to do any wrong. We really do seem to have. And I think that was from the moment they moved away from Knowsley Road.
No,
because
do they not play
when
at
they
Knowsley
were
Road
playing
anymore?
At
is he not there anymore? No,
no, no. Oh, years ago. Years and years ago, they went to play at Widnes for a couple of years while their new ground was being
built. I thought they just
built
put a new sign up. I thought it was the same stadium. No, right.
No. So
we need another 5 years to even it out, roughly.
Longer than that.
Yeah. I think it's also important when you get the... I don't know where it comes from. How is
still going on.
How is it? Burgess is unbeaten against St Helens.
Ooh.
Played 8-1-8. You know, can we play you every week? Seems to ring true there, doesn't it?
How much do you think, though, it was down to Steve, Psychic Steve, the win? Are we attributing anything to that at all? Sam, you've got some big thoughts about this. You're on the hype train. Was he the conductor or was he just the ticket?
Interview, odds? Played one, won one. Burgess does the interview. Keeping an eye on that this year.
I think for me to summarize, it was almost the perfect game for the first game of the season.
Right.
We scored a couple of good tries in the first half, but then we came under pressure and we saw was it the word you used earlier, some connectivity again amongst the team. They were battling for each other.
They keep
they were
banging this word around now.
Connectivity. So I did feel we saw, even though we gave six again, and we saw some discipline in defence.
Right.
And that possibly is down to the sidekick coach, I would suggest. That detail. Perhaps that detail from an experienced man.
Sorry, you didn't mention the game plan element, did you, in our
set
little
for set.
To talk
set
about?
For set this year. That looks like what
is
we're
that
doing.
What it is?
Yeah.
I've written down enthusiastic at the kick chase. We weren't doing that so
just
much
got
last
one,
year.
One, but what, are we not allowed to when the opponent's kicking downfield, are we not allowed to rush upon the kicker anymore? No one goes and touches the kicker. There was a few in that game where we could have easily charged. I know Tony Smith used to charge it down, but we just don't seem to be touching the kicker.
No, it's massively penalised if you're even a split second late, and if you take the leg in any way, you're risking a ban. I agree with you, Rob. I want to see the kicker put under pressure. I want to see him rushed, but the percentage plays probably to go with caution. You don't want to take him later. You're off the pitch and it's a red card.
Right. But we're not charging down anymore. We've given up charging down. Not going for the player, going for the ball. We don't seem... There was a few there that we could have easily got our hands
charge
up.
Down, not jumping up for the kick. Do you mean charging down?
No, the charge down from the kick that's going downfield now. No one goes near them.
Maybe statistically or statistically, we should work out the percentage, you know, where it comes off for you against where you lose out another six. Is that another one for next week, Sam, you could do?
What, you can't be asked.
I can make it up. Sorry, yes, I can do that research. Yeah. Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Round one results. York got up against Hull KR, 19-18. Catalans, on a very wet night in France, beat Huddersfield 26-10. Lee, in a tough game against Leeds, beat them 26-14. Hull just pipped Bradford 27-20. Wakefield went down at home 16-18 to Toulouse. And Castleford put up a good fight against Wigan, but went down 16-26. Bit early to really read into any of those, but good to see that the three new teams in the comp all played pretty well. And two wins.
I noticed what I liked is Mikey Lewis did this trip, which probably affected the game at York and whatever. But did you see what he wrote the next day on social media? I checked it because I thought I'll see if AI has written it. And it said, this is what he said. He said, growth comes from mistakes. You have to cherish them so you can learn from them. Your mistakes are your greatest gift. I actually put that in the Valentine's card for Mrs. Waywell. She told me to fuck off.
What colour crayon did he write it in?
I don't know. It was, you couldn't tell.
I mean, talking about niggly little halfbacks, didn't Hastings have a bit of a tiff in the corner after the game at Warrington?
He did, yes.
Eh? Mm. He was doing that hold me back thing, and no one was no one was holding him back. It was one of those ones. So, maybe not.
I'd like to just pick up something I'd noticed, and it was something I meant to touch on in our previous recording. Hull KR and Leeds now have got a bit of pressure on them, not for the whole season, but for this start. Leeds are missing quite a few players. They have York this week, fine, but then they go off to Vegas. Hull KR have lost the first match. They're going to play Brisbane this week. Then they go off to Vegas. You'd think come round four or round five, they're going to be there for the taking potentially. Now, we go to Leeds. That could be a big game. We go to Leeds.
Is that it?
Away.
We go to Leeds.
What's your point now?
My point being that by week four, teams could be knackered.
Who?
And only won one game teams? At the most.
Which teams?
Leeds and Hull KR.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hull KR are fucked this year anyway. I really don't rate them. I think I agree with you. I think that they've got these next two games. That's the end of their season.
Well, they didn't turn off up against York, right? They've been all wrapped up in cotton wool, haven't they, for the game against Brisbane this week? That's the one that matters.
I don't know.
See a different Hull KR.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Brisbane.
No.
The new teams in the league, I mean, everyone's going, oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it? This, that and the other. They'll probably last, 3 weeks? Then a few injuries, this, that and the other. They'll be fucked as well, won't they? Do we agree with that?
No.
Do we agree with that?
No. I think they'll be really high up the table. I think they'll all be brilliant. I think they'll be fantastic.
I think, though, even if it's only the freshness of a new season, all three teams put on a good show. Two of them won.
Good but crowd. Even this, this, oh, good crowds, yeah. weren't they? Everyone turned out. It's like everyone yes. came out of hibernation and went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good to see. Yeah. Good to see. Right, okay. Anything else on the match?
Anything else?
Oh, one last question. So how's your new seat? Are you in the same seats as you've always been in, or what's the...
I'm in the same seat. I'm in the same
seat. What's the clientele yes. like around you? Has it improved, or what's this? What have you got? Any annoying people?
Oh, well, not really in front of us. The Hoi Polloi still
did
behind.
I mention
got,
on the
Mr.
Flight.
Lomax and Mr. Pierce was behind. Stuart Pierce was behind me.
Oh, the seat at the game. Sorry, I was thinking you meant in his front room. I have no idea what you were going on about.
I picked
God
up a
help
bit
the
of
fucking
a,
listeners.
Bit of a scam on the Emirates flight home. The old lady who was sitting, what? She was sitting across the aisle, three across from me. Before we even took off, shat herself.
Oh.
And they left her on the plane. They checked her pulse twice. They thought she was dead. The lady next to me had to have smelly socks.
Is this not in the green room we usually have this conversation? Now we're in the middle of the pod.
Lady next to me had to have smelling salts. I refuse them. But it was reported. There was a report. I got 100,000 air miles this week sent to me from Emirates. So that's quite good.
Well, does that get you a flight?
Yeah. The normal standard is 25,000 for a complaint, but because she shat herself, we got 100,000 each.
Oh, so that'll be it now. He'd be shitting himself on every flight from here to wherever now, Timbuktu, won't he?
Miles or kilometres?
It's they don't work that way, but about 8,000 air miles normally knock off about £100 off your thing.
Oh, right.
Did
okay.
quite well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was good. So.
I did. I've got a travel bonus as well, and then we'll see with Dennis has got his.
We could all meet in Indonesia at Tony Smith's, discuss charge downs.
I've spent mine. I've bought some nectar points.
God, nectar points.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Why I have drawn Gull Vikings in the fourth round of the Challenge Cup. Gull Vikings were drawn out of the hat first, but the venue, I think at the moment, is still to be advised. The tie is scheduled for either the 14th or 15th of March. They're doing a bit of filming of Peaky Blinders in Gull.
Oh, right, okay.
I had a bit of a... I dropped in on Google Earth. I think I sent you the video. Looks a bit bleak. In Gould.
Yeah, you did say, why don't you park your camper van here? It looked like a bit of a brothel or something. Anyway, I've got Sam's going to the match and he's covering the match. Have you got your ticket yet, Sam? Are you still thinking?
Doesn't know where he's going yet, do you?
I don't know where I'm going.
Okay, well, I'll tell you something about Gould. I've got some facts here. Excellent. Population of 18,000. It's a port.
How many have got rickets?
I'll have to go back and have a look at that one.
It's on the River Ouse, is it where the ouse stops becoming?
It's associated with the coal industry. Oh, you're really into this, Sam, haven't you? You've been doing some research. Mm. Interestingly enough, the Anglo-Saxon word for ghoul is open sewer. So that's something to look out for. Or outlet to the river. It's got... two water towers, the biggest in England, 145 feet, holds 750 gallons.
Wow.
Hopefully, not
750 gallons? That doesn't sound a lot.
750,000 gallons. Did I say 750?
I thought it was a bath in someone's terraced house.
Yeah. It's a bit like...
Anything else? You're done. That's it, is it?
Yeah. That's it for Ghoul.
Someone mentioned to me that they Hull have adopted them as their second team, and they might the game might be played at Hull rather than taking it to Warwick.
Yes, that'd be a very empty ground.
Yeah. Have Gould got a ground? Where's Gould's ground? Oh, they have there.
Yes, yeah, it's where that is. That photograph. It was behind that photograph you sent me.
That photo. A range of match day and stadium improvements designed to enhance the supporter experience, both inside and beyond the stadium, were announced. I said.
I know, you might want to say that again.
Experience. I'll squeam. What was that from?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No.
No, it was some girl.
Till I'm sick.
What was it? I'll squeam. Oh, God. We're not moving on till we get it. No one Google it.
No, but it says here, a rebalanced PA system. Is this the unbalanced PA system?
We have new state-of-the-art floodlights, which can also illuminate light shows. A rebalanced PA system. Added to catering are chicken burgers and pizza twists.
Oh, fucking hell.
Behind the bar, there's a locally brewed IPA. Carlsberg on draft is replaced by Kronenbourg 1664. And there's a 0.0% non-alcoholic Guinness. There's a pie and a pint £10 deal. A hype video will lead the players out. Wire TV will be unplugged and replaced with a subscription-based YouTube channel. A Wolves WhatsApp group. Are we on that yet? Plus, there will be ongoing maintenance for an ageing Halliwell Joe.
Well, there's a couple of things that stand out, don't they? I mean, what's the maintenance bit? Is that just, are they just painting a few posts? Is that it? Is
one
that
of our patrons, I think it's Chris, he's had bird shit all over his seat for 10 years. And it has it's been jet blasted off.
Ah,
he said the
excellent.
Drip from the stand is still getting his shoulder. So,
So that's the maintenance done. The Carlsberg up to Kronenbourg. It's Kronenbourg is owned by Carlsberg, just to make everybody aware. Kronenbourg just has a higher status in terms of what it used to be like as a lager, but it's still shit. So I just thought I'd put that out.
Have we had any lagers play for us? Like, can you write in with a lager surname? Have we had anyone that's
a lager surname?
A lager surname. Didn't we have Steve Labatt's on the wing for a year?
Oh yeah, I remember.
Do
this,
you remember when Labatt's came to Warrington? I've got this beer from Canada, lad. Yeah. We've got Labatt's.
Yeah,
well, that was fizzy.
Then we had
shit,
the Fosters and Forett come in as well.
God.
Did you any of this lot float your boat, Sam? I mean, you were on the hype train because, like, by this time,
isn't
now
he
you're
just
walking
on
out.
The hype train. Jesus. He's constantly on the bloody hype. Look, he's on the hype train tonight. Look at him. I've never seen him lean forward so much. Are you not drinking tonight?
No, I'm pretending. I'm just on tonic Walker.
Yeah, it's a different
Walker.
Sam.
Tonic Walker.
How was the PA system? Is it improved? What was it like? He doesn't know.
Because it so occasionally you can be forgiven for thinking that our predominant owner is involved in a business where sound is key, because often you've not got a clue. Quite often you didn't have a clue what was being said, but it was clear. As I said at the outset, there was a buzz about the town before the match.
Like a politician. Back to the official statement.
He's far better when he's pissed, because he doesn't last this long when he's pissed. But tonight,
I think the key is going to be, can we carry it on?
What, the PA system?
Everything went so well on opening night. Okay. Can we continue?
Did you have a chicken burger or a pizza twist?
No, I had a pie. I had a free. No. I got my email off the club saying, happy birthday. As a member, for your birthday, you can have a pint of pint on us.
Thank you. By the way, thank you to the patrons, the new patrons who've joined this week. We picked up a few patrons this week. So we now can have enough sustenance for Sam's bill to be paid for every week. He's off again.
I was just about to ask him a question. I want to know
He's not stopped talking tonight.
It wouldn't have been on Sky. The hype video is the ground goes dark, lights start to shine, and then the video comes on showing some of our heroes scoring tries, basically.
Who are our heroes? Who's in the hero montage?
Anyone wearing primrose in yellow, as Eddie Waring used to say.
Or did he? You get that wrong, did he?
Yes.
God bless him. Well, I think that's about it, Dennis. You're a YouTuber, so we're going over to YouTube, but it's a subscription based YouTube. Why have they made it subscription?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Subscription in this day and age.
Well, you don't. Yeah, you don't. But I tell you one thing though. There is a lot of YouTube stuff now in rugby league. Everybody's got a podcast on there and stuff like
that. When are we going to YouTube?
Well, we could do. How do you fancy a game of Only Connect? And I'll be Victoria Corum Mitchell. How was that?
Hello and welcome to Only Connect.
Right, okay. I've got a game of Only Connect, so you
just
both
a minute.
Well,
well, well. Hang on. Oh. No. If you've put the wig on, you need to put the V-neck and have the...
Don't be disgusting, Sam.
You know what? I think she'd like to be called a sex symbol, but not from the What Brethren. I can't even say
Brevin?
What
Brian
Brevin?
Brevin? Yeah. Get on with it.
Anyway, you know Only Connect. Would you like to pick Mr. London? Would you like to...
Twisted
Flats. Play the rules. One each. Twisted Flat. Twisted what?
Twisted
Flats. Okay. Okay. Find a connection in these. The Bluebell 700. The Hot Pole 500.
Are they all gay pubs?
Do I hand it over now? Or do I keep
going?
Have
I buzzed in too early, have I?
Yeah, I think you have. So I have to read these out to Sam now. The next one, the King's Head, 250. The Rodney, 20.
That's the distance in metres from the ground as they go progressively towards.
Very good. Yes. He gets a bonus point.
There's no way that Rodney is 20 metres from the ground. It's at least 60 or 70 or 100 metres.
It's from the front door. I checked it on my OS maps today. Right. So the next question to Sam, right? But you can buzz in, and then if you want to get more points, but you're on 1 point at the moment.
Sorry, I thought this was going to be a highbrow only connect, not just how many meters it is to the Aliwell Jones.
No, well,
I'll lower me IQ.
Connection, I've connected.
Yeah, that was the connected. The next one, character. Do you want the next one? You've got to shout out.
Next, please, Victoria.
Okay, resilience.
Next, please, Victoria.
Can I buzz in?
No.
No, I think I've got this, but I'm going for one more.
Balance.
Buzz, are these the pillars?
No. Can I have a little bit more?
Can I come in on this?
There's a Sam Burgess pillars that'll get you home.
No. Sorry, I can't take it over to
I
Rob.
I think these are the narratives of our last four coaches.
Correct. Yes.
Oh.
Well done. A bonus point. The last one was connection.
Oh, I thought the last one would be fuck all. Sorry.
No, that's one's connection. Right, okay. Right, so what I'll do now is I've got one more round and I'll let you buzz in, both of you. So this is to both of you. Are you ready?
Yep.
1974. Buzz. 19. Go on.
Something to do with Featherstone Rovers.
That's a long shot. I mean, it's worth 5 points, but it's absolutely shite. I'll read the rest out to you now, Sam. 1978, 1981, 1991.
The years that Dennis got thrown out of Legends.
Lancashire Cup wins.
Oh, he was so close. Jump player special league trophy wins. So that's the end of the quiz. Shall I just read something? What shall I read? Mikey Lewis's thing again. Growth comes from... That's what she always does at the end, isn't it? She always does that bit. Yeah, we'll miss that out. Carry on.
Whilst we were all buzzing for the return of Super League, the wider sporting flavour of the month has been the Winter Olympics. So, I've been thinking about which Wire players, past and present, I'd like to nominate for a few winter sports. I'll start with ski jumping. The entire attacking philosophy for 4 years of Steve Price's time in charge was just a high kick to Toby King, so the centre has had no shortage of practice with high and well-timed jumps. For the biathlon, I've gone with Brett Hodgson. Biathlon is a test of lots of different attributes, and Hodgson is one of the best all-rounders I've ever seen at Wyre. But it is his remarkable precision with goal-kicking that leads me to think he would be an excellent shooter in this event. For figure skating, I've gone for Carl Fitzpatrick. The guy knows how to lead people a merry dance, and wearing tight fabric clothing wouldn't even make the top 10 of his most embarrassing moments. In all fairness though, Fitzpatrick really does know how to put on a show and entertain, which is what the skating is all about really. For the curling, I've picked Lee Breers, who was skillful with both hand and foot and very good in all departments. It was Breers' tactical brain and sharp reflexes that made him such a top player, and curling is surely one of the most mentally demanding events. Thinking now about ice hockey, a sport about precision, athleticism, toughness and being able to use your skills in various different ways. I've gone with Stefan Ratchford. His goal-kicking ability might stand him in good stead with the puck, and given the age he's now at, he must be getting used to carrying a stick around with him anyway. And finally, to my five-man bobsleigh team. Michael Monaghan is going to be my pilot to guide the team around neatly. For the pace at the start, I'm having Kevin Penny and Matty Ashton on either side, and for some immense leg drive at the back, it's going to be Ben Murdoch-Masilla and Mike Cooper.
Well, there you have it, the Winter Olympics. Now, staying on the quiz theme, did anyone notice the mistake in Daniel's soundbite?
Oh.
Have a think. I called him and he was devastated. Oh.
Was it the skaters don't wear tights?
No, it wasn't. Mm. Daniel managed to squeeze five players into his bobsleigh. It's only a four-man bobsleigh. I have given him a written warning, so we'll see it moving forward. But yeah, there's only four in a bobsleigh. You've got three sort of engine men, and then you've got your pilot up front, but he managed to squeeze
five in. I did make a note, actually. I did say I didn't believe Ben Murdoch-Masilla could get his ass in the bobsleigh. I thought that might be a struggle as well.
Can I ask which player would be injecting that acid into his dick to make his outfit bigger?
Oh, yes. I think I prefer him when he drinks.
I don't know. I'd just like to say well done for Daniel for that. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah, very good. I've got my four-man bobsleigh. Do you want to hear my four-man bobsleigh?
Go on.
My pilot up front, he's gone for someone who's light and can steer them around, but I think you need a joyrider up front. So I've gone Phil Ford. Just ask Bob Eccles. Won't say any more on that one. And then the three in the back, you see, you need weight. There's no good putting Ashton and Penny in there because they're too light. You need weight in your bobsleigh. So I've gone Mattiaki Maffey. I put him in. He was 19.
Was he the sprinter?
Yeah, when he was 19, he represented Tonga in the 200 metres at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona. He finished fifth in his heat and failed to make the quarterfinals. So I've also put in there Joe Rapati. I think he's also big, strong. Mm. Never forget the day that he bear hugged the Lee player, the Lee fan who ran on the pitch with a plank to try and hit Desi. And Desi, yeah. I think there was two of them. Desi smacked one of them and Rapati bear hugged the other one. So that was good. This is an interesting one. My third one, I've gone Salisi Finau. Don't you remember Salisi Finau? He played in the centre for us as well. He currently
wasn't he at the same time as Mafiati Maki?
Yep, same time. He currently presents a cooking show on Tongan television called Salsa with Salisi.
So are you making this up?
No. So I'm going to write to him and see if he'll do us a little salsa with Celeste
food pizza. Parcel.
Yeah, every week he could do a little, you know, because I bet he's not doing
recipe
pizza twists or chicken burgers. It sounds like he's using a few herbs and stuff. So there you go. The biathlon, I think he's got the biathlon wrong because it does include shooting. So I've gone either Chris Sander or Josh Maguire who apparently likes hunting in the woods, and ice dancing. I've partnered Steve Roach with Leon Hayes. I thought he could really...
Some good throws there.
No, in a twist, a bit like Pizza Twist, Leon's going to be throwing Blocker Roach. It's the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to get us
the momentum.
Do you really think it was a good idea to bring the team paintballing in Appleton Woods? Why, Danny Walker's missed Albert Hopperwater that many times in the opening game. The whole wood looks like an interpretation of Jackson Pollock.
Huh? Bollocks, Ralphie?
No, I said Pollock, Samuel. We're not talking about your coaching. Now take good cover. Oh, I think I've just taken one right up the backside. These paint bullets really do hurt. Why, poor Stephen Ratchford lost half his nose trying to hide behind Leon Hayes.
I bet he won't do that again.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Leon hasn't been hit once since they brought in the rule of no shooting below the waist height.
Oh, Ralpho, I really think our stealth tactics have not been seen could really help us win. We're completely invisible and flying under radar.
Sorry, Samuel, are we still talking about paintballing or our attacking left edge? Oh, good heavens, Sammy. Who's that mucker's brass walking around in no man's land?
Oh no, that'll be Professor Broomhead, Ralpho. He's been swigging at the methylated spirits again.
Oh, tackle sacks, the dirty old man. quick, Sammy, put your bulletproof vest on. Oh, we wouldn't want you coming to any harm with the ignorant job within arm's range.
Don't worry yourself, Ralpho. There'll be no dancing on podiums or putting my head above the 20th until I secure my next cutting number.
Oh, yes, Samuel. It does seem brass as muck. No paint sticks to you. Perhaps one day we'll wake up from the Burgess effect and realise we have your number.
The only numbers around here, Ralphie, are painting with numbers.
Oh, that's very good, Samuel. Now pass me that tin of Dulux Emulsion, and I'll see if I can wipe out Fitzpatrick from 100 yards. I mean, it's important to hit him with a couple of undercoats, to stop all that bullshit bleeding through.
And the ugly.
You like that one, didn't you? That was quite good, that one, wasn't it? Eh?
Sergio Leone and I can't remember the guy who wrote the music. Something like it wasn't Meccano, but it was something like that, wasn't he? Who wrote all that music? Excellent. But I want to know. Where was Sidekick Steve this week, and where was the horse?
Yes. See, you've got to play to the fans, Mr. Lund. You got to play to the fans.
I called it Appleton Woods, but I think it's called the Dingle.
The Dingle. The Dingle.
I used to take my first girlfriend walking through the Dingle. She was beautiful. She had a lovely smell as well. Met her in Legends. God. Threw up on her in Legends. Turns out she was Lions Lane in Appleton. Fuck, they had money. Lived next door to Robert Bilton from American Golf.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Osborne was next along in that little row there. Yeah.
What put her off you?
Eh?
What did she?
Well, she
like
went off to St. Martin's College, didn't she? She did her. She did draw me. You know the David Hockney, the very famous one of the guy in the pool.
There in the swimming pool.
He sort of got his shoulders up against the pool, and she did. She did one, and ended up in the National Portrait Gallery on the wall.
On the what gallery?
National Portrait Gallery. There was a picture of me on the wall for 6 months, and then lo and behold, I meet Mrs. London, and she's still in the National Portrait Gallery wearing no clothes. Is she going through the front door on the left? There she is, Mrs. London, full torso, the lot. So it all comes round, doesn't it? I think that I watched Warrington Wolf in the National Portrait Gallery. I mean, the contrast between the two worlds.
Yeah. And you're doing this podcast now, so you've really come up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tickle
Dance. That was a good one about the plane going across, you know, the plane flying, like, and the intercom's left on, and the captain's talking to his mate. The co-pilot says, "Harry, do you know what I'm going to do when we land? I'm going to have a nice cup of coffee, and then I'm going to make love to that gorgeous hostess." Of course, everybody in the plane heard it, you see. And the hostess is on one, and she ran down the bloody alleyway to switch it off. And the little old woman said, "Don't worry, he's got to have his coffee first."
Right, so Tackle Gags this week. Thanks for the intro and a bit of a, you know, get all the audience up with that little joke there. The jokes, Rob, are they going to be all? Are they going to be all
clean?
You know, legit.
All clean. I listened all to clean. 12 and a half minutes of Bernard Manning, and it was all blue. He's shit, Bernard Manning. He can't get through his joke without stuffing up and stumbling on his words. How did he ever get where he did? Every joke, he stumbles as he's telling the joke. So I'll put Bernard in next week. Give you an idea.
Lovely. Anyway, this week I was just looking at RFL. Nigel Wood is outlining his strategic review. Last week he said he's ready to listen to the people across the game following the publication and recommendations for Rugby League. I just want to know, has anybody received the memo for that? Have you had your say?
No.
Seem to have missed that. Has
he eaten it?
I don't know about that. We didn't expect all the recommendations to be supported by everyone in the game. That's what he said. So it's almost like a contradictory in terms. I don't think they're really going to listen to the audience because there isn't anybody. So that's a bit of a fucking joke, isn't it? It's interesting that it was 144 pages, which is still 500 pages short of Steve Anderson's rugby playbook. Yes, so it can't be that extensive, is what I was thought. By the way, he's also said there's a meeting in March with all stakeholders and chips. I think he's mixed it up there in terms of what he was thinking about when he said that. So, I think that's that. So that's the RFL.
I was picking up my little lad yesterday, and there was some bloke just sat down next to me. He's a granddad. And started telling me about West Tigers. And he's written a letter to West Tigers about five ingenious ways that they could use attacking plays. So he went along to watch them train. And normally training lasts an hour. So he went up to Benji Marshall with his letter. And Benji Marshall said, "I'll speak to you after training." Anyway, training went on for 3.5 hours. It was 30 degrees. He said he was really struggling at the end. And then at the end, Marshall just disappeared. So he went up to the general manager and said, "I've got this letter, it's going to change rugby league." And the manager said, "You're not a member." So he went home and he wrote this big, long email to say that he wasn't a member because he'd had to support his family and bring his family up, and he didn't have the money to go and watch West Tigers every week, which were Balmain back in the day, etc. And they wrote back to him and said, you know, thanks very much. And then he's written back again and he hasn't heard from them. So I've asked him to bring the letter to school, and I said, we could, but he wants money for the letter because he said it will just... He hasn't said that. He took it to Wayne Bennett, apparently, and Wayne Bennett told him to fuck off.
Well, if we could get another couple of patrons, do you think we could buy this letter? Because this sounds excellent.
There's nothing in the letter about defence. It's all attack.
Right.
Excellent.
As I've got a tackle bags budget, I think you should just...
I could get him on the pod, but he's a nutter.
Is he? He doesn't sound like a nutter.
Ah, he is. He's definitely something odd about him.
The other thing in the news this week is the immersive floodlights. Now, what nobody really knows, this idea was originally conceived by the club when one afternoon Professor Broomhead came back from after a boozy lunch and couldn't find the light switch for the staff toilet. It turns out that Professor Broomhead was, in fact, playing with the floodlights light switches whilst he was looking to operate the toilet. But after... playing around with it for 5 minutes, people on the pitch noticed, and the staff, and they thought, oh, well, this is a good idea. It's a bit like Jean-Michel Jarre light show, so we'll send it upstairs. And before you know it, that's where the idea came from.
Another 1980s reference that no one got under the age of 30. Yeah, carry on.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that light show at the end there as well.
Right. Nobody could verify with it, whether it was a Broomhead number one or two. That's the only thing I could add to that.
Is that the ongoing maintenance at the HJ? They're increasing the size of the drains. That's what's happening.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
No game for Wire this weekend due to the postponement of the Hull KR fixture. So next up for Wire, it's another home fixture with visiting team Daryl Powell's Wakefield. The game is a week on Saturday, kickoff 5:30 p.m.
Crisis! What's a crisis?
Before we place our bets... Sam, do the stats suggest Wakefield are our bogey team?
Oh, well, it's not a huge sample because with Sam Burgess, whilst he's 8 from 8 wins against St. Helens, is 2 from 2 losses against Wakefield.
Oh, right.
Because they weren't in Super League in his first year. But that wasn't a great sample, so I did a bit more digging. And I wondered, how have Warrington gone against Daryl Powell? Since Daryl Powell took the reins at Castleford in 2013, we've played Daryl when he's coached either Castleford or Wakefield 28 times. Mm. It's exactly 50-50, won 14, lost 14. Mm. And whilst digging into that, just as a slight aside, I was looking at how many opening games at the HJ we'd won or lost. We'd won 8 from 11, but we lost one in 2006 to Salford when Carl Fitzpatrick was playing halfback.
Wow.
But that's just a little aside.
With
a 50-50, a 50-50 against Daryl Powell.
Okay. Well, we'll have a look at the balances, shall we? I had a nice little win off the back of Toby King last week. Got the first try scorer. That pocketed me, I think, about 60 quid. I also got the Warrington win, which we all got. So I won £68.33. That's put me on £949, boys. Dennis lost a little bit. He won £8.33, but he lost 20 quid. He's down to 387. And Sam, oh, he just got up. He won £5.83, but he lost £2. He's now on £103.83. Mm. So I will go first.
Yeah.
I will have, on Warrington, £700.
Okay.
Well, you've got it available, to be fair.
Yes, but, there you go. Yeah. And I'll have £5 on Toby King, because he didn't let me down last week. All right. Ugh. Sam, you're up next.
Okay. I won't have £700 on Warrington. I'm going to go a far more conservative £10 on Warrington and pray that they don't let me down, because I think we've got such an opportunity here in these first few games. We've won against St Helens, got Wakefield, York, Goole and Castleford. I'm looking for us to go unbeaten. Mm. So,
Who's your try scorer?
Josh Thewlis again.
How much are you having on him? 50p?
Fiver.
Right. Dennis.
Right. It's going to be a £5 Warrington win.
Pathetic.
Yeah, you can't win anything on that. Oh, I've got
£17. £17, yes.
On Liam Byrne.
Ooh. Good odds. Good odds on that, because that's not going to happen. Right.
Mm. Do we think we'll win?
I think we'll win easily. I just think we'll build on the momentum of last week. Wakefield obviously didn't do well against Toulouse. I just think we'll be too hyped up not to win. I just think this is a comfortable win.
Do you think playing at home is going to be a significant factor?
Massive. I wouldn't be betting on them away, but at home, I think we'll win.
And to be genuine, do you think having a week off now is better or worse, or make no difference?
I think it's always good to have a week off in rugby league, because it's such a barbaric sport. I think that the longer you can heal, the better. So, are we going to get Ashton back? Will Ashton appear? I know Aaron's a long way off, but maybe Ashton.
Yeah.
Hard to break into that team, right?
And if not, we've got York and Goole. Particularly if the Goole match were to be changed to either the Hull Stadium or, again, switched like Sheffield was to the HJ, then we might see him there.
Okay. Are you going to these games, Sam? Are you going
season
to go
ticket.
To these?
He's at this one.
I know, but...
Yeah, of course I'll be at Wakefield. And if I can finish work early enough, I'll go away to York as well.
Oh, taking Missy Sankey to York, are you? Taking her up the Minster?
No, Missy Sankey's not interested in anything less than a trip to France or a trip to London.
Or a trip
to Dublin. You know, she's only glory hunting. She's only glory hunting now.
Christ, he's not shut up tonight, has he?
I thought he said glory hole.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back after the Wildcats game. So until then, it's a timid meow from Sam.
All the best.
A pussy footing around from Dennis.
We're saying no.
And a furball cough up from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Do you think anyone's old enough to remember Mrs. Slocum stroking a pussy?
No, we're not having that on the end. No. It's just smut tonight from him. He's so smut. He's less smutty when he drinks. You got anything, Dennis?
I've got absolutely fuck all after that. As close together as a bride and a groom. We ate the food. We drank the wine. Everybody having a good time except you. You were talking about the end of the world. I took the money, I spiked your drink. You miss too much these days if you stop thinking.